this is a Dragon Blazer production.
Welcome to the very first episode of Pro Wrestling Apologists. We don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal, but we do love pro wrestling, and sometimes that's okay. I'm your host, Craig Atkins, and sitting here with me today is a hobby horse on a stick whose voice only I can hear, and I'm hoping maybe the podcast audience can hear. This is Steven.
Never been described that way yet, but, you know, first time for everything.
We'll get there. So, pro wrestling. It's silly, right?
It is.
I've watched it my entire life, and I feel like I've always had to defend it. Sometimes it's just indefensible, but I've always felt like I had to defend it. My goal with this podcast is to cover the good, the bad, the really bad, and the high points, like last year's WrestleMania, where three women broke that marble ceiling and main evented the biggest show of the year. And the low points, like everything they did with the women during the Attitude Era. Historians aren't completely sure, but date back almost 100 years ago when the sport crossed over from legitimate shoot wrestling to kayfabe, the industry were used for wrestlers staying in character. It's carny speak, sort of. It's like sort of pig Latin for the words be fake.
Be fake.
Yeah, that's what kayfabe, I know what that, that's what kayfabe is. It means be fake. It's like a carny pig Latin.
Yeah, I've heard of kayfabe before. Well, obviously as a wrestling fan, I've heard of it before, but also it is carny speak, so.
Yeah. But now wrestling is as big as it's ever been with the ever-present juggernaut that is WWE expanding into basic cable and launching their own network with thousands of old WWF, WCW, and ECW footage. We have, for the first time in 20 years, a legit competitor in AEW, which is a lot of fun. New Japan is huge. Impact, Ring of Honor, wrestling is hot right now, white hot. Except for the Rona. The Rona's kind of put a damper on things. The coronavirus has obviously taken a toll, but you can be sure that as soon as the doors open back up, seats will be filled.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, that's kind of what this podcast is. I'm trying to figure it out, but I want to cover the good and the bad of this thing that I love so very much. So we'll get into some news. The news this week's been ridiculous. Last couple weeks, it's a lot to get into. I don't think I'm going to dive into it a whole lot today. But there's been a lot of women stepping out and telling their stories of abuse and accusing multiple wrestlers, announcers, and even journalists in the industry across like all the different organizations. Everyone's been dealing with this. WWE's been, they've been firing quite a few. I'm not going to name names right now. There's ongoing investigations. The whole thing's awful, so I'm going to refrain from reporting on the names because it's not going away anytime soon. I think we'll have a better idea what's going on later. I know Jack Gallagher was one of the ones that was fired, along with some NXT UK talent, some guys I've never heard of. But maybe as the dust settles and the names are all out there, I'll revisit the story. Another big story is the Rona. Several WWE employees have tested positive for COVID-19, including on-air talent. Renee Young confirmed that she's tested positive, as a result, her husband, AEW champion Jon Moxley, is quarantining as well. Less importantly, this is affecting WWE's taping schedules, so what are you going to do? SmackDown, half of it was devoted to re-airing the Taker AJ Styles Boneyard match, And it was a weird SmackDown, too. You haven't seen it yet?
No.
It, like, Jeff Hardy gave his... He did the Undertaker bow thing. It was weird. You have to get around to it. I'm wishing everyone a speedy recovery, and come on, WWE and AEW. Let's get better at preventing all this. Test your people.
And test your people.
Another thing I want to touch on is the supposed Undertaker retirement. And
heard about
I
that.
Call bullshit. Undertaker's not retired. There are certain shady at best sources like the Rage and Blaze show. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, I think I have.
They've interpreted Undertaker's announcement that he has no desire to step in the ring again as a retirement. But that was Mark Calloway speaking. And what Mark needs to know, and what you all need to know, is Undertaker's will is not his own. Mark might not have a desire to take the bumps and tear his ligaments, but you see, Vince McMahon has this little safe under his desk. Inside that safe is Undertaker's mystical urn.
Ooh.
You remember the urn?
I do, from Paul Bearer.
And we might not see Taker for a while, and Mark might be living it up, frolicking with tigers with Michelle Cool and Doc Antle, or whatever the dead man does with his time. But all it takes is one WWE house show in Saudi Arabia, and Vince takes out that urn and says, Taker, they want Sting. The Saudis want Sting. The Sting needs an opponent. And then Mark or Undertaker said, oh, damn it. Michelle, get my hat. And he's off to Saudi. So, congrats on retirement, Taker. And I'm looking forward to your next match that will definitely be very soon. Maybe next month.
Oh, I'm glad you know these things.
Okie dokie. It's time to get into the gooey center of what this show is all about. I think with some of my episodes, what I want to do is a quick and dirty profile on a wrestler event or whatever in the world of professional wrestling that we love so very much. Today, I'm going to do a profile on Chavo Guerrero Jr.
I liked Chavo.
He's great. He's, of course, the nephew of the late, great Eddie Guerrero. And he's a great wrestler and entertainer in his own right. A guy that definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame right alongside his Uncle Eddie as Los Guerrero's tag partner. They were a great tag team together.
He isn't already in the Hall of Fame?
Chavo isn't.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
Very missed opportunity there.
Yeah, there's... I don't know how accurate it is, but I'm reading that there's some bad blood. Chavo did sue WWE.
Oh,
that
will do it.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of guys that have, and it's still fun to play. But, anywho, Chavo Guerrero is a junior. Chavo Guerrero Jr. is a third-generation wrestler. He's the grandson of Gory Guerrero and the son of Chavo Guerrero Sr., or later known as Chavo Classic. He was born and raised in El Paso, and he grew up watching his legendary family wrestle and practice wrestling himself in a ring set up in the family garden with his Uncle Eddie, who's closer in age with, and they kind of grew up as best friends. You know, more like brothers than uncle and nephew. In 1994, he made his wrestling debut in Mexico and went on to wrestle in New Japan. And then in 1996, he debuted in WCW, losing in his Nitro debut to Dean Malenko. He received and lost his first title shot for Ric Flair's United States Championship. And fast forward to August of 1996, he teamed with Uncle Eddie and defeated High Voltage. He would go on to eventually become a reluctant partner to Uncle Eddie, reluctant to adapt to his lying, cheating, and stealing ways. Uncle Eddie's abuse and manipulation drove Chavo right to the edge of sanity. where he had a psychotic break and became obsessed with his new friend, a hobby horse on a stick named Pepe.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that what you just called me earlier?
Yes.
Well, that's
his good friend, Pepe. Chavo went on to feud with Norman Smiley, who I love. I love Norman Smiley. I might be the biggest Norman Smiley, or only Norman Smiley fan. But he went on to feud with Norman Smiley, who they threw a birthday celebration for Pepe, where Norman stole Pepe and tossed him into a wood chipper. I believe I had you watch that.
Well, that was just rude.
which, yeah, was rude. I had you watch that. That was one of the homework segments that you watched. So what did you think of young Chavo looking very young?
Yeah,
he looks like a kid.
He looked really young, a lot smaller.
And Norman Smiley was a beast. You forget how big that guy was. But yeah,
he was a large man.
He stole Pepe.
Very rude. Now I have a question for you.
What's that?
How do you know the difference in ages between Eddie and Chavo? I know they were uncle and nephew.
There was a 3-year difference. Eddie was born in 67, Chavo was born in 70.
Wow. That's really close in age.
Yeah.
I always thought they looked...
They grew up basically being brothers.
Yeah, they look like they're close in age, and they acted like brothers.
Yes. So yeah, Norman Smiley. He was very rude.
Big dude.
He threw Pepe into a wood chipper. They used to do things like he would stomp on Pepe and they'd have Pepe wear the neck brace and some good stuff. That's how they used to love that stuff. Okay, meanwhile, he was driven deeper into his insanity due to his inability to join Uncle Eddie's new stable, the Latino World Order, LWO. Obviously an offshoot of NWO. Like a parody. And I love this whole era. I remember switching back and forth between Raw and Nitro and watching the third hour of Nitro after Raw went off the air. It's all so silly, so great. Did you watch much WCW back then?
I watched a little bit with the NWO, just because the NWO was so interesting.
This was kind of later in NWO, and it was... the LWO.
Yeah, I watched a decent amount, but I was always more of a Raw and or WWF fan when I was younger.
So, Chavo and Uncle Eddie would go on to feud, with Chavo defeating Eddie at Great American Bash in June of '98, and ultimately ending the feud by losing to Eddie in a hair versus hair match where Chavo shaved his own head. In January of '99, at the sold-out pay-per-view, Guerrero was defeated once again by that bastard Norman Smiley, who then went on to murder Pepe. That's right. The wood chipper didn't do it. Pepe somehow survived the wood chipper, but was no match for the flame. Pepe was gone. Poor Chavo Pepe became a sane man once more. After... a legend. I mean, he does some crazy stuff. He has some moments. After teaming and then feuding with Billy Kidman for a while, Chavo eventually went on to become a member of the stable The Misfits in Action. MIA. Do you remember MIA, Misfits in Action?
No, I don't really remember that one.
It's terrible. this right here, these were the final days of WC. This is Russo coming in there, mixing things up.
Maybe terrible. I blocked it from my mind.
Things were getting bad. But you want to hear the roster of MIA and Misfits in Action?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to.
We have the man formerly known as Hugh Morris. Now, at this point, he's known as Captain General Hugh G. Rection.
Where's that at?
We have Booker T, legend, now known as G.I. Bro. They changed his name to G.I. Bro.
Ah.
We have Major Guns. She's just a She has large breasts. They named her Major Guns.
Oh.
So we're really cooking. This is Russo stuff. We have Sergeant AWOL.
Sure.
Corporal Cajun. Why not? And our boy Chavo, who is now known as Lieutenant Loco.
Of course he is.
It's terrible. Lieutenant Loco went on to carry the Cruiserweight title, etc., etc. At this point, it doesn't matter. WCW is on life support. Eventually, reverted back to Chavo because, surprisingly, MIA didn't work out. He had matches against Mike Sanders, Rey Mysterio, unmasked at this point, and eventually lost the title to Sugar Shane Helms, later Hurricane Helms, of course. WCW is now dead at this point. They did the thing with the simulcast. We'll be revisiting that, I think, coming soon. We're gonna watch that last episode of Nitro. Vince bought WCW, as we know. He's doing the simulcast. He's gloating. But hey, Shane McMahon is here. He bought WCW. We all know the gimmick. If not, I'm gonna cover it. Let's fast forward to 2002. Like I said, this is a quick and dirty. There's a lot more to Chavo, but we're going to get through it. We're getting the high and low points. Chavo is now part of the WCW-ECW alliance during that invasion angle. He didn't do a whole lot in that alliance. The angle fizzed out disappointingly, which it was disappointing. Could have been so much better. Fast forward to now, Chavo is teaming once again with Uncle Eddie as Los Guerreros. I love Los Guerreros. This stuff was great. Chavo is now fully supportive and active in the ways of fibbery, dishonesty, and theft. They go on their heels for a while. They go on to win the tag titles at Survivor Series and a triple threat tag match with the team of Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit, team of Edge and Rey Mysterio. They eventually lost those belts to Team Angle. Remember Team Angle?
I vaguely, but I don't remember who.
Shelton Angle. Benjamin and Charlie Haas. They eventually became the world's greatest tag team, but they were known as Team Angle for a while.
Okay, I remember
this era of WWE was some of the best. Some of the best talent they ever had. In Los Guerreros is starting to become super pop, especially like Eddie, though. It was Eddie.
Yeah.
And then Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas later became World's Greatest Tag Team. As Eddie's popularity grew and he started to shine, it was becoming obvious that he was about to be a breakout star. One of the matches that had you watch, you could really hear the crowd was popping huge for Eddie. And Los Guerreros eventually wins the titles back from Team Angle. They go on to lose them to the Basham Brothers. After losing the titles, Chavo became jealous of Uncle Eddie's popularity and championship ambitions, and he turned heel. His dad, Chavo Classic, shows up and chooses to side with his son Chavo over his little brother Eddie, eventually losing to Eddie at the 2004 Royal Rumble. At No Way Out, Chavo wins the Cruiserweight title from Rey Mysterio due to interference from Chavo Classic. He carries into the May 6th episode of SmackDown, where he issues an open challenge answered by Jacqueline. Remember Jacqueline?
I do remember Jacqueline.
She punches him in the dick and takes his title.
Oh, shit.
He gets it back. And then on May 20th episode of SmackDown, Chavo challenges Spike Dudley to a triple threat against he and his dad, Chavo Classic. Well, the heel tactic of it's a triple threat, but really, you know, it's sort of supposed to be a handicap match. The heels elsewhere. Wait, nope, never mind. Chavo Classic accidentally pins his son and becomes the Cruiserweight champion. Whoopsies.
Whoopsie-doo.
Eventually, Classic loses it to Rey. after a concussion, a brief face turn, and back to heel again. We're going to fast forward to the 2005 draft where Chavo was drafted to Raw. Shortly after, Chavo is no more. Man who looks an awful lot like Chavo makes his debut. You know where I'm going. Just go ahead and say it.
I'm going to go with the racist white character.
It's Kerwin White. He rolls down the ramp to his Sinatra-esque theme song, riding a golf cart, bleached blonde hair, really embracing the stereotypical conservative Anglo-American male. He addresses the crowd, says a bunch of racist stuff, calls himself a role model, gives us his phrase, "If it ain't white, it ain't right." Some real dumb stuff here. But it's over, the crowd hates him. Says racist stuff, especially towards Shelton Benjamin. He eventually hires a caddy to help him to win his matches, named Nick Namath. I think is how you pronounce it. Do you know who that is?
No, I do not.
More commonly known today as Dolph Ziggler.
Oh. This is
kind of his debut as a. It was before he was a cheerleader.
I was going to say, this is before Spirit Squad.
He was a caddy for
that's nice.
For Kerwin White. Good stuff. On the morning of November 13th, 2005, in Minneapolis, Chavo Guerrero was contacted by hotel security. His Uncle Eddie was not responding to a wake-up call from the front desk. After security let Chavo into Eddie Guerrero's room, Chavo found his uncle and closest friend unconscious. He attempted CPR, and Eddie Guerrero was declared dead when paramedics arrived. The legend, one of the best in the ring and out, former champion, one of the best and most popular superstars in history, was dead at the age of 38. That is rough. It's hurt. The tribute show was the following day. Needless to say, Kerwin White was never seen again. I think that's easy to say.
Yeah.
Chavo was, again, a baby face, obviously. And on that tribute show, he had a really fun match against JBL, which had to have been hard. I don't know how he was able to even do that match. Yeah, it was a really fun match. I do watch it.
Yeah, I did watch that one.
He hit all of Eddie's signature moves.
Finish off with the strong splash.
And he did the whole throwing the chair into the ring and giving the chair to JBL and laying there and, you know, doing the hush to the crowd and all
it was
the
great.
Amazing stuff Eddie used to do. Where are we? He hit all of Eddie's signature moves, doing some lying, cheating, stealing, with the baby face kind. The referee caught Chavo cheating and almost disqualified him, but you go ahead, you little scamp. he didn't want to ruin the tribute to Eddie.
Right.
Chavo wins with the frog splash. He would go on to stand up for the Guerrero family in his matches with Randy Orton, the likes of Randy Orton. He also feuded with his friend Chris Benoit, which brings me to June 25th, 2007.
Oh, I wonder what happened on that day.
Chavo gets a text from Benoit stating his full address and that the garage is open. And the dogs are chained up in the backyard. Chavo found this text odd, and soon the horrors of that day started to reveal themselves. I'm not going to get into the details, but we know the story. Chris Benoit murdered his wife Nancy and his little boy Daniel and then killed himself. He would be a Hall of Famer. He would be in everyone's top five greatest of all time. Now he's only remembered as the wrestler that murdered his family. let's move right the fuck along from that.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
I'm going to fast forward to December 18th, 2007. In WWE's recently formed version of ECW that was being touted as a sort of renegade third brand for WWE, kind of became what NXT is now. It was fun. I watched it, but it didn't last long. And I might be the only one that liked it. I don't know.
Probably why.
Chavo Guerrero makes his debut, interrupting the main event between MVP and ECW champion CM Punk. He attacks Punk and makes it clear he wants the ECW title. He then goes on to take that ECW title from Punk in a no DQ match after capitalizing on an interference from Edge. He carries it to WrestleMania 24, where he loses it to the devil's favorite demon, Kane, in a record 11 seconds. That was pretty much the end of his run on the ECW brand. The ECW didn't last much longer either. Chavo eventually found himself back on Raw and starting to scrape the bottom of the card, feuding with Santino Morello, Hornswoggle. That's a great feud there. He eventually wrestled his last match for WWE, and this super memorable match with JTG and Darren Young against Yoshitatsu, Conor O'Brien, who is Conor of the Ascension, and Vladimir Kozlov. Real barn burner.
Yeah.
Remember that match?
No.
Nobody. Chavo doesn't remember that match. That's me speaking for Chavo. I don't. After being released from WWE, Chavo spent time on the indie circuits, TNA, Lucha Underground, and aside from his long and mostly successful career, and Chavo has done some acting. He played a wrestler in 1996 in the erotic Showtime series Red Shoe Diaries. He played, you guessed it, a wrestler in the NBC TV series Grimm. And to this day, Chavo works... Say what?
I've actually watched Grimm.
Have you watched Grimm? Well, you've seen Chavo. Oh. And to this day, Chavo works as the fight coordinator for the hit Netflix series Glow. I need to watch that.
Here it's great. Me too.
Where he has appeared in two episodes of the second season as the wrestler Chico Guapo. I guess you can say, compared to where he was at the end of his WWE career, that's a glow up.
That's cheesy.
Thanks for that. And nowadays, Chavo has gotten into the beer game, the craft beer game, with his Los Guerreros Mexican Lager.
Ooh. I love me some beer. We might have to try that.
Yeah, I wish we would have had that for this episode.
Yeah.
So that's all I got on Chavo. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more to Chavo, but I did the quick and dirty.
Quick and dirty.
I really like Chavo. I always liked him. I liked his Pepe stuff, as silly as it is.
WCW. I think I remember seeing quite a bit of that, and it was so wonderfully dumb.
And he kind of always... He was always in the shadow of his Uncle Eddie, but I think on his own, he's a Hall of Famer, deserving Hall of Famer.
Now, you may not remember or know this, but does the Pepe stuff, did that come around the same time that Al Snow had Head?
I'm not sure. I'm sure. It was probably around that, because I guess ECW was going on over there. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, I know that wrestling has a bad habit of trying to steal each other's gimmicks, and I feel like
Pepe, I'm going to just go similar. Ahead and say Pepe was all Chavo. I'm going to say that was his good pal.
Yeah, no, he was a good, loyal horse.
Right up until that bastard Norman Smiley.
Son of a bitch, Norman twice. Smiley.
So that concludes the first episode of Pro Wrestling Apologist. Feels good. I can just... I already feel the audience growing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure the listeners will be in the maybe dozens. So, Stephen, you got any social media to plug?
Yeah, you can follow along with me on my Twitter, at DragonBlazerPro. I also have a Dragon Blazer Productions Facebook page that you can join and invite your friends.
And I am Craig Atkins. You can follow this podcast at PW Apologists on the Twitter. And you can follow me at Craiger Atkins. A little too political there, so you might want to just follow the podcast. Follow both on the Twitter. And forever and always, we love professional wrestling, and sometimes that's okay.
Sometimes it is.